Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Okay, so just to review a little bit here, we went over the first 2 points, which was the first one was in step number one, is be specific and stand on God's promises. Be specific and stand on God's promises. We talked about the importance of having the Word of God in you, searching the Word of God for the truths that will, you know, if you have an area of your life that you're frustrated in, see what the Bible has to say about it, and then do that. If you have an area of your life where you don't have an answer to something, or you need to seek God on something, then search the Scripture in that area. Does that make sense? Scripture, the Bible is not hard to understand. Now, the devil works double overtime, and a lot of religious teaching will work. Seems like it works double overtime to make things confusing, but the Bible says in the New Testament that the common people in Jesus' day heard him gladly. And so what that simply means is that they understood him. When they talk about the common people in Jesus' day, that is people that didn't know how to read, didn't know how to write. They didn't know half of what you know, okay? It was common people. That's why Jesus would use illustrations like farming. You ever notice he used a lot of different things like that? Because it's simple, it's practical, it's understandable. But what he's doing is he's taking a natural principle and applying it or giving a spiritual truth to it. Okay? So what he's doing, for instance, the sower sows the word. What do you mean? The word is seed. Oh, I know what seed does. We plant this seed in the ground and we get this crop. That is exactly what the word of God does in the spirit. So it's just a natural picture that gives you a understanding of what's taking place behind the scenes. Because we're spirit, soul, and body, the predominant thought process and what you and I go through in a day is natural, 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 natural. You wake up and are aware of how you feel. Wake up and aware of the issues that you have to face for that day. You wake up and you're aware of where the kids got to go and what we have to do for this and what we have to do for that. And a lot of it is just natural. What we don't understand is there's a spiritual world oftentimes, well, there always is, but functioning behind the scenes. Okay? And so that's where your day can either be in peace or in turmoil, depending on which spiritual force you allow to influence you more. And so Jesus taught in terms of natural things, but he was bringing out a spiritual truth. Everybody is dealing with different things in this room every day. Some are more, some are less, depending on where we're at in our lives. If you're 13, your cares are much less, potentially, than if you're 39. Okay? Because when you're 13, much of what you need is taken care of for you. But when you're 39, well, I can't go, Mom, where's my clothes? She's going to be like, get out of my house. Okay? So everything is, you know, a lot of times, you know, people be like, I've said this too, just joking around, but, you know, wouldn't it be great to go back to being a kid again, you know? Well, some things would be great, but other things are not so great because your life is more controlled, which is good when you're that age. But the potential for you to use your faith is you're going to have much more opportunity the older you get than when you're younger. It's not that the kids shouldn't be learning, but right now mom and dad should be using their faith for their kids as long as they're under that age of accountability. You should be using your faith for your kids. I mean, I do it. We do it. You know, and we went through that parenting class a while back. Now, if your kids are already older, they're older. You can still use your faith, but they're no longer your child. You say, what do you mean by that? They're still my child. Yeah, but you know what? You'll never be able to stand before God for your child who's 21, 22, 23, 24. You understand what I'm saying? There comes to be an age of accountability. The scripture says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Well, once I'm no longer my parents' child. People they struggle with that because they think, well, no, they're your parents. Yeah, but I'm not their child. I'm not a child. They're not paying my bills. You understand what I'm saying? I'm past that age. So I don't call my dad every time I need to make a decision. I pray. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? So from that standpoint, God will use natural things to bring about spiritual truths. Okay? So we talked about being specific. Okay? First off was what? Stand on God's promises. Secondly was you must ask God for what you want. We looked at different scriptures on that, and I'm not going to go through those again. They're available online. And we got to sense knowledge versus revelation truth, and this is what we're going to kind of hit on, and it ties in a little bit with what I've already said. And I'm going to read to you an account of a situation here where Kenneth Hagin was praying for people in a prayer line. And I want you to look at this and think about this. There are different beliefs about who God is and what he is and what he does and doesn't do today. Okay? But I've said this before, and so I'll say it again. God did not die with the apostles. And the reason why I say that is simply because there are a lot of people that want to relegate whole sections of Jesus' ministry or God's ministry to his people to a certain era before we had the Bible. There are people that teach, well, we don't need God to do miracles or different things like that anymore because we now have the Bible. Well, that's not true. That's simply not true. There's no scripture to validate or to put that together. Does that make sense? And so we have to go back to the Word and look at the Word and then from there decide what we believe. Now, this will challenge you. This challenges me as a minister, but it should challenge you too, because you will meet people that definitely love the Lord. There's no question about it. When they pass from this life to the next, they're going to go to heaven, but there are certain portions of the Bible they'll just shut off on. They won't even go there. Why? Because somewhere along the line they were taught or they had an experience or something happened that formed a belief system inside of them, and they're not going to let that go because that is more true, more real to them than the lordship of the Word of God. Okay? So the Word of God has this effect on you. It should be bumping up against the things that you think are true, but you see the Word says they're not. In other words, the Word of God is a sword. The Word of God is, in the Old Testament, it talks about it being a hammer. It talks about it being a fire. Well, what do you use a hammer for? You don't use a hammer to comfort people. Come here, I got a hammer for you. You shape things. And the shaping that's taking place is, and we got to remember this because it is in your natural man's makeup because your natural, the tendency of the flesh is sin, to want to rebel against what God says in his word. Because oftentimes the word will say things and your emotion will go, I don't like that. And then you have this moment that is captured in eternity and is filed in eternity before the throne where you either choose to submit to what God said or you choose to reject what he said. Everybody has them. I have them. We have to look at the word and go, oh, I'm not doing this right. And so that's what the Word of God is for. It's here to shape us and disciple us. We live in a generation and an era where the love of God is emphasized on the side of the mercy of God, in the sense of it's almost like love without any responsibility. Does that make sense? Okay, I'll put it to you like this. This is the best illustration that I've felt like the Lord has dealt with me about to this point. As you read through the Old Testament, you'll see this. The Lord calls Israel his spouse over and over again. And we are the what? The bride of... Right, okay. So, in a marriage, if one in the marriage is totally faithful to the relationship, but the other one is saying, yeah, they love me so much, I'm just going to go do whatever I want because I know they love me, so they'll take me back no matter what. You see what I'm saying? Does that sound like a proper understanding and relationship of man to God? Is that the right thing to do? That's not the right thing to do. Nobody even stays in a marriage like that. Well, yeah, I love you with all my heart, but every once in a while, I'm just going to go off with my old girlfriends, and that doesn't make sense. It doesn't compute. And so, but there is that mentality in the church with the way some people are preaching. I've heard it put like this: God's not Hitler. No, God's not Hitler. You're right. But the issue is not God rejecting man. Flip it. It's man rejecting God. See, God will never be pegged as the evil one. It's just never going to happen. So as you're reading through the scripture and things like that, realize God loves me. And this is for my good. This is for His words are given to me to shape my thinking, transform the way I think so that I can get closer to Him and have a closer relationship with Him. And as I do, then you become more of a representation of Him in the earth. And as you do that, you attract others to Him. Okay? All right? Because evangelism is not just standing on the street corner with a megaphone. I'm not against that. If people want to do it, they can. You know? But that's not, evangelism is what you're doing every day around the people you're around. They're looking at you. They're watching you. You know what I mean? They're looking at you going, what's different about them? How come they don't freak out when, you know? There's a testimony that comes forth. So, in some of that is this, sense knowledge versus revelation knowledge. Brother Hagin says this. He says, in one of my prayer lines once, one woman said that she wasn't going to believe she had something. She had something her physical senses told her she didn't have. So what do we know straight off from that statement? She's not in faith. Because you cannot be in faith and feeling at the same time. Now, your faith can change your feeling. But if you're going to wait for the feeling, I'll put it to you, we'll break it down to the simplest thing. How do you know you're born again? By faith. Did you see Jesus? Did He come up and shake your hand? Welcome to the family. You're in now. Have you seen heaven? How do you know it's there? By faith. And you'll see it's real shortly. People are like, well, I'm young. Yeah, it'll be shortly. Even if you live to be 100, it's not that long. The average life, according to, if a day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years as a day, the average human life is 2 hours. God time. Yeah. So, you know, I've probably got like an hour left. Got to hurry up and get it done. All right? So, he said this, she made this statement to Brother Hagin. He said, I told her, just go sit down then, because according to the scriptures, she would never get anything from God believing that way. How would you like that if it happened in your church? A preacher's praying for people. I'm not going to believe it until I got it. Well, go sit down then. You're not going to get anything. We have gone so far the other direction away from Jesus in some ways. And totally into a, in some respects, into a, whatever the people want, that's what we give them. Do you know how much trouble the prophets got in the Old Testament when they did that? Oh, man, trouble. Big time trouble with the Lord. And so we got to be careful that we don't do that. The reason why this statement is made right here is, let's go to Mark 11, 23 and 24. This is actually something that Pastor Tim Davidson preached on when he was here. But it says this. I'm going to start in verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. The King James actually says, have the faith of God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he what? Says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that what? You receive them and what? Do you have them before you believe you receive them? You have to believe you receive first, and then you have. And so that's what Brother Hagin was explaining to this lady, which she was refusing to do. You've got to believe you receive. When someone lays hands on somebody who's sick, like if you were sick and we prayed for you and we said, okay, we're going to lay hands on you according to Mark 16, which says that when we lay hands on the sick, you shall recover. When somebody lays hands on you in faith, if you're in faith with them, you believe that that healing comes and you believe you receive it when they pray for you. Then it could be a short time or a long time, just depending on where your faith's at, until you have it. Look at it like this. I had a guy explain it to me like this one time. In the realm of faith, picture your faith being a rope into the Spirit. And as long as you remain in faith, you're pulling what you need to you. Does that make sense? You're pulling it to you. You're remaining in faith. Now let's go over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse number 3. You say, why do I need to pull it to me? Why do I need to use my faith? Well, for one, faith pleases God. The scripture says it is impossible to please God without faith. It's not hard, it's impossible. It's impossible. So if we look at that scripture and go, well, I don't know if that's true. Well, you need to submit to that scripture. It's always true. So he says this in Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who what? Has blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. It's already been done. You say, they're all there. Yes, they're all there. Faith gives you access to that. You say, how do you know that? How were you born again? You were born again through that same process. And when you were born again, that's called salvation. And the word salvation is a whole lot bigger than just going to heaven when you die. If you ever study it and look it up, you should sometime. Take some time. Look at it. So what we're talking about, as far as this point is concerned, is sense knowledge versus revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge has to do with what you don't see. Sense knowledge has to do with what you do see. So if what you see is not lining up with what the scripture says, then you need to go back to the scripture and start operating on revelation knowledge until what you do see changes to what you know is true in the spirit. Now I could say that again, because I just said a mouthful right there. Okay? Okay? What I'm saying is this, when your circumstances and what's going on around you in the arenas that you have authority over in your life are not lining up with this book, which is revelation knowledge. You take the promises which are found in here, the revelation truth that is found in here, and you begin to either pray or say those things until you see a change in what you see in the natural. Make sense? Okay? You're taking a truth that is spiritual, and applying it to a natural issue, because, guys, I mean, this truth, once you see it, will explode inside of you. What did Jesus do all the time? He would go into a situation and take a natural situation. Remember, he said, I only do what the Father does, and I only say what the Father says. Right? Okay? What did he say to the little girl that was dead? Get up. Why? Because God said, Jesus heard, natural knowledge, revelation knowledge. When revelation knowledge hits natural knowledge through an avenue or a door of a person of faith, it changes the situation. Changes it. So, wherever there is a promise of revelation truth, and you see a natural situation in your life that isn't lining up with that truth, you now know you have a weapon in the spirit that you can apply to that natural situation and change it. Does that make sense? Okay, we worked that truth pretty good. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. I felt a little more, yeah, I get it on that one. So if you need to, go back and listen to it again. The fight of faith is every day that problem is going to stare at you and talk to you, and the enemy is going to bring it up to you. But you've got to continually come at it with the sword of the Spirit. Make sense? Okay. Remember I told you about my Gideon Bible? It got work today. You know, Psalms 56:4. I will praise your word, O God. And then he says, I put my trust in God. I will not fear what man can do to me. It got work today. Count it all joy, my brethren. Just count it joy. Doesn't feel like joy. That's the point. Count it joy. Revelation knowledge. Natural knowledge. Which one are you going to... Okay, people think... Help me, Lord. People think that the reason they feel a certain way is because of the way things are. Maybe the way things are is because you're acting and living a certain way. Reverse it.
That's right.
People, this is amazing to me. Salespeople do this. What do you mean by that? What do you think motivational speakers are? Well, but have you ever gone to a meeting and they're like, you got to see yourself selling to every person? Where did that come from? The Bible.
Yeah.
They took it from the Bible and they don't even give God credit. And they do it. They do it. You got to see yourself succeeding. You got to picture yourself. What do athletes do all the time? Picture, picture, picture. See yourself catching. See yourself making the play. What are they doing? Using God-given natural ability, faith, the ability to believe. That's why sometimes athletes will have such a chip on their shoulder. Because they develop this attitude, nobody's going to keep me down. And if anybody tries to get in their way to keep them down, they're going to fight to the death. That's why they're that way. So, again, spiritually speaking, apply that mentality against the enemy and apply that, I'm going to pit bull, lock my jaw down on the truths and the promises of God, and I ain't moving. You see what I'm saying? And when you do that, the devil's day is done. It's not that he won't try. He'll always try. So, he puts forth effort. You got to give him that much, right? So, sense knowledge versus revelation knowledge. Okay, step number three. And we led right into it perfectly. By accident, but perfectly nonetheless. Step number three, be positive in your thinking. Be positive in your thinking. Okay? Step number three to receiving answered prayer is let every thought and desire affirm that you have what you asked for. After you pray in faith according to God's word, never permit a mental picture or failure to remain in your mind. Now I'm talking about receiving answers to prayer. Once you've prayed and asked God for something, never doubt for 1 minute that you have the answer. If doubts persist, rebuke them. Get your mind on the answer. To get your mind on the answer, you will have to get your mind on the word. The Bible says what in James 4:7? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Okay, now, here's the catch, all right? Resisting is not a one-time event. I wish it was. But it's not. It's a daily event. And depending on the heat of the battle that you're in, it can be a minute-by-minute event. Okay? It can be, you can be at it for a while. It can feel like a marathon, okay? It can feel like a 26-mile race, all right, at times. But you can do it. And the other thing is, when you stand in resistance to the enemy, James 4:7, when you stand there, don't quit. He will wear out and he will leave. Why? Because the Bible says he will flee from who? Jesus. No. He'll flee from God. He'll flee from who? You. You is as bad as you thought you were. Okay? You are. In Christ, you've got this. He'll flee from you. When the devil comes to you, you have to go, no, devil, the answer's on the way, after you pray. The Word of God says, and then quote it to him. And then it says, and then after you're done with that, say, I'm submitting to that Word, and I'm resisting you in the name of Jesus. You will flee. And sometimes there can be, especially initially in an area, if you've yielded to it over and over and over, it may take a little bit more time to get victory over that area. But do not quit. The devil will come to you, oh, you failed on this. You say, the righteous may fall 7 times, but the Lord will pick him up. People say, well, I fell more than 70 times. Jesus said that you should forgive your brother 70 times 7. And that is, the implication is in one day. So if God requires that of you, guess who else does it? He does. Okay? Make sense? It translates down. Okay. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So the enemy is looking to devour. But you be sober, you be vigilant. You don't back down. I think I got this one written out in the Amplified. Let me look here real quick. Yeah. Oh, no, I didn't.
Sorry.
Oh, it is in there? Oh, you got it. Okay. I thought it may have been in here, but maybe it's not. Thank you, sir. Okay. Be balanced, temperate, sober of mind. Be vigilant and cautious at all times. For that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. I love this. Verse 9 does not say, pray to God that the devil will go away and that he'll leave you alone, and beg to God that he'll leave you alone. You see, I know that sounds funny, but how many believers do that? They're waiting for something when they have something in their hand. The sword is sitting next to them. And the devil's going, they don't even know they have a sword. Sometimes you just, there comes a point where you've got to beat a bully up. Okay? Verse 9 says, withstand him. Be firm in faith against his onset. Rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined. Knowing that the same identical sufferings are appointed to your brotherhood, the whole body of Christians throughout the world. In other words, your case ain't that special. That's the Sean International version. I'll say that with this. The reason why I say that is because the enemy wants you to believe your case is special. Because he wants you to believe and take on the mentality, it's too hard. And if you start taking on that mentality, then you're losing, I can do all things through Christ. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. The gates of hell shall not prevail against Sean, ever. Make sense? Do you see the fight in my eyes? Oh yeah, it lives there. Why? I'm not in a fight with you. I want you to fight that way. I want it to be like David. You know what I mean? People were like, man, look at this warrior. But then by the time he was done with his crew, everybody was like, here come the mighty men. Here come the mighty women. You understand what I'm saying? those who know their God and are strong and do exploits. Those who navigate their families right through a twisted culture and never lose a one. Does that make sense? From that standpoint, you can resist him. You can hold him back. Okay, so reject anything that contradicts the word. Okay? Now, if you're not familiar with some of these thoughts and this way of thinking, then you're going to have to study in the word and find them. Okay? But don't let that hinder you. Just get in there and get after it. Any suggestion that doesn't line up with the word of God is of the devil. And you need to throw it out. Okay. He goes into a situation where a friend of his had a vision, basically talking about it wasn't God's will to heal him and different things like that. Brother Hagin goes into and he talks about Matthew 8:17, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Hebrews 1:1-2, God who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past through the unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So, Jesus, and this is the point of this verse, Jesus is God speaking to us. Jesus is the Word of God. So if it doesn't line up with Jesus' ministry, throw it. Throw it out. I saw this, I wrote this in here, but I saw this online. Jesus is God's selfie.
Okay.
Make sense? Well, what is God like? Just like Jesus. In every aspect, he's just like Jesus. Jesus only did what his Father did. Only said what his Father said. Man, that could get me excited. How about Acts 10:38? The Bible says, Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Oh, man. So good. This image of God in your mind on what he's like, it being Jesus. If Jesus is your image of God, doubt will not exist in your mind. Okay? Oh, man. Okay. He talks about his own fight of faith. I'd recommend that you read that. I just don't have time to go into it right now. But I'd recommend, go back, read that, look at it, study it, see what God did with him. Talking about Brother Hagin, I heard the story probably from the man, you know what I mean?
Right.
From the man's mouth. I don't know how many times, okay? But I read it again the other day and I'm going, man, how can I apply this to my life? Okay, see, I was not born sick. I wasn't born diseased, or I didn't have infirmities or anything, so I don't understand that side of it. But I had my own things that the enemy tried to work in my life, or tries to. And so the principles work the same. And honestly, most people are not in this condition. You know, you think about how bad is the devil? Most of us are living pretty good. If he's so big and bad, why didn't he just kill us all? People don't even like that thought. Because like, he can't, is my point. They're like, what do you mean, Sean? I mean, he is so defeated, he cannot. Well, don't talk that way, he'll hear you. It is my intention that he hears me. Okay? It's my intention. Why? Because I'm not backing me up. Well, what if everything fell out and you died? I'd be in heaven. You're not going to scare me with heaven. And in an hour and 45 minutes, most of you'd be there anyway. I know we've got to change the way we think. Change, because we hear all day long, oh, that person died. Shocker. Somebody was born in the earth and they died. How many people are still around from the 1700s? There's a reason why you have a history book. Leading cause of death, birth. Every time. Nobody gets out of this alive. Unless Jesus returns, the rapture happens. Right? A lot of people praying for the rapture.
I don't want to die, Lord. I don't want to die.
Yes, you will have a long life. But I mean, even if you think about a long life in comparison to eternity, it's so short. It is. So, number four, guard your mind. I know I'm kind of glossing over some of this, but I'm telling you, these principles are so true. Guard your mind. Okay? The Bible says that we are to cast down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. 2 Corinthians 10:5. That's why you should stay away from all places and things that do not support your affirmation that God has answered your prayer. Your thoughts are governed and affected by observations, associations, and teachings. That means that sometimes you have to stay away from the kind of churches that can put more unbelief in you than anything else. Also, be sure to enjoy fellowship with those who contribute to your faith. What did Paul say? Be not deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. In other words, every single time, if you overspend time, I'm not talking about like your job or things like that, okay? Obviously, you're going to be around things at work that you're going to have to fight against. But don't intentionally put yourself into situations where unbelief is constantly fed into you. Does that make sense? You don't want to do that because it's going to just make it that much harder for you to be able to do what God's asked you to do. And live and believe and think certain ways. And he mentions churches in here, and the same principle is true with churches. There are churches, and I'm not against anybody, you understand what I'm saying? But there are churches that will teach against the Word of God. Certain things. And you don't want to be around that because that, can I just, and no church is perfect, but can I just say it like this? Have you ever walked into an atmosphere where there's been a lot of strife? You can feel it. It's there. Unbelief has that same effect. Why would that be? It's spiritual. It is spiritual. You can feel it. It's like, it's why the leadership in this church purposes to walk in love. Because if we didn't, you wouldn't sense the peace and the joy and the freedom and the life that comes if we didn't. Why? It runs from the top down. That's the way it works. Make sense? So, that's why these things are so important. That's why he's talking about guarding your mind here. Okay? 2 Corinthians 10:5, we just read that. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is any praise, think on these things. You will have to guard your mind in order to develop in faith. And as you stand your ground firm in faith, your faith will see you through to victory. Every single time. Not half the time. Every single time. Why? Because it's God. God's got a good track record. He's got a great track record. All right? Let's go to number five. I'd encourage you to go over those questions. I went through... wrote through in some of them. Actually, most of them. But that'll help you remember some of those things. Okay. Number five, meditate on God's promises. Meditate on God's promises. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 through 22 says this. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings, unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are what? Life to those who find them, and what? Health to all their flesh. What does meditating the Word of God do? It brings health to your flesh. According to Proverbs 4:22. According to Proverbs 4:22, it does. I don't remember what day it was. Last week, I started having snivels, and what day was it? Anyway, I thought, and I think part of why I sometimes deal with some of that stuff, I know for one reason, because of the atmosphere that I'm working in, because it's paint and texture and dust and, you know, all that stuff. So if I run around without the mask on for an extended period of time, but it just was, it felt like it was, you know, going that direction as far as a cold is concerned. I got a scripture. And it's in Psalms 41:3, I think is where it is. I better look. So I just started speaking this rather than praying it. Oh, man, I hope I'm right. Psalms 41:3. The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. You will sustain him on his sickbed. One translation says that he will restore you to health on your sickbed. So you know what I did? I was going to go to bed. So I thought, I'm going to go to bed. I'm not going to stay up and continue to look over these. I'm just going to say this verse, and while I'm sleeping, this verse is going to work. So I shook it off. I shook it off. It didn't stay with me. I mean, I didn't miss a day of work anyway. Why? Well, it wasn't me. I mean, if I could do it, I'd probably be a billionaire. But I can't do it. The Lord does it. Well, you say, it's just a cold. That's not the point. I'll put it to you like this, okay? And this is not a condemnation thing, so please don't think that. What is a cold? I'll put it to you like this. On what day did God create colds? I know. That usually gets people thinking. What day? Do you think there's a flu season in heaven?
No. No.
Okay? I just want you to think about it, because these are things people don't think about. They just think, well, it's that season, you know? It's just that everybody has to. Why does everybody have to? Give me the reason why. Now, I know the biblical reason why these things do happen, because there's a curse in the earth, because Adam and Eve sinned, and because Satan's in the earth, and he comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Look through the Gospels sometime and see how many times Jesus dealt with the enemy in accordance with sickness. Acts 10:38 says what? Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of
the devil.
Huh. Seems like Jesus knew where it came from. And so that's why I say it that way, because in order for your life to increase with the Lord and your relationship to increase with, you got to know more about Him, what He's like. And if faith is going to be strong, you have to be able to understand who you're submitting to and who you're resisting. And if you don't understand, if there's confusion about things in your mind, then you cannot stand in faith. Because what is the word doubt? It's D-O-U-B. But if I put an L-E on the end instead of a T, you have double, which is the same root word, which is what? Double-mindedness. And what did James say? He said, if you're double in your mind, you're unstable. You cannot remain in faith, and your prayers won't be answered. You won't get the answer. Why? Because you're like a what? Wave of the sea. You're up, and then you're down, and then you're up. God is like this. Nuclear warfare and all. He's just steady. Always the same. His heart rate never raises. You like that thought? God is what? In the middle of your storm, God stands up and goes, why are you guys freaking out? How do you know that? Jesus did it. People go, well, I'm not there. I know. I'm not fully there either. But my point is, we're growing, we're discipling, we're stretching, we're moving further than we were before. And as we do that, then God is able to do more with us and do more among us. Does that make sense? And so that is the goal. The goal is to develop. So He wants you to meditate, think about, attend to God's words. God will make His word good in your life if you will act on it. If it's healing you need, for instance, God's word says Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And with His stripes we are healed. That's Matthew 8:17 and Isaiah 53:5. I told you that Brother Hagin has a strong emphasis on divine healing. If you don't see yourself healed, then the word of God has departed from your eyes. See that? That's meditation. That's that process that's taking place, okay? You have to see yourself with your answer. All right, let's do it this way. Because sometimes And I'm going to end on this one. I don't think I'm going to go to the next one. Let's do this. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. If you have fear in your life, you'll want to write these down. This is not in your book, and I'm not going to go any farther in the book. I'm just going to end on this. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy chapter 31. Okay. All right. So let's look at it like this, okay? Let's practice this principle with the principle of fear, okay? With the reality of the spirit of fear that roams the earth, all right? So, have you ever noticed that you can have an area of your life where the enemy will try and work fear, and with that fear, you will imagine things that happen that have never happened? You ever had that happen? Okay? Or maybe something traumatic did happen in your life, and so the enemy will try and trump it up. He'll try and make it bigger than it is. A bird just died. Somebody will try and trump it up. In other words, the enemy will try and trump it up. So in other words, what will happen is you had something that went on in your life, and now it's going to be worse next time. Okay? Have you ever had the thought with your kids? They just get their driver's license. And all the thoughts that come to your mind are, they're going to run into something. They're going to hit something. Have you ever had that happen? Where it's just like this constant, I'm trying to find an example of what fits your situation, okay? Whatever it is. But those thoughts are coming from where? If it's stealing, killing, and destroying, if it's fear, where are they coming from? So don't just stand there all day and go, oh, and wring your hands and bite your fingernails off. Don't do that. Open your mouth and speak God's word. Okay, so, Deuteronomy 31:8 says this, "And the Lord said, He is the one who goes before you, He will be with you, He will not leave you nor forsake you, do not fear nor be dismayed." Psalm 23:4. Do you know what dismayed means? Confused. You ever felt fear and then felt confused? You need to stand up and go, no, I'm not doing either of those. Leave. Psalm 23:4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear all the evil because it's so bad. And man, what are we going to do? I will fear what? No evil. For why? Just because I'm tough and because I can do this. No, because who's with you? God is with you. His rod and his staff are there. They comfort you. Why are you not afraid? God's with me. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. He goes in front of me. He goes behind me. He's on either side of me. He's my hedge of protection around me." Psalms 27:1. I love this psalm. I've used this psalm and used this psalm and used this psalm. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" The question is, whom? Why do you say that? Because the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the what of my life? Strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh. That's a picture, isn't it?
Yeah.
My enemies and foes, they did what? They stumbled and fell. What do you do when an enemy stumbles and falls?
That's the end of them.
Stab him! He's down. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay? "They stumbled and fell, though an army may encamp against me." Boy, this seems like it's getting bad. I mean, first they were coming for my flesh. Now there's an army encamped against me. "My heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident." I will be confident that what? The Lord's with me. He's never going to leave me. He's never going to forsake me. He's in front of me, he's behind me, he's in me, he's on either side of me. His angels encamp round about me. How bad is that enemy? You remember Elisha? Where the army ended up being blind, but his servant went out to see. It was Elisha. Okay, so Elisha's servant goes out. We got the enemies all around us, we're surrounded. He goes back in, "Elisha, we got to do something." And he says, "Oh, it's all right. There's more with us than there are with them." And Elisha's servant went, 1, 2. And then he went outside and went, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Elisha's a prophet, but he can't do math. He skipped that class. And the Lord said what? And Elisha said what? Lord, open the boy's eyes. And the mountain was filled with chariots of fire and angels and horses of fire. In other words, sense knowledge, revelation knowledge. Make sense? Sense knowledge, revelation knowledge. Okay? All right, let me give you just one or two more here. Psalms 34:4. The enemy's intent on being distracting. 34:4. Here we go. I sought the Lord and he heard me and what? Delivered me from how many of them? Woo! All of them. The fear of drowning. The fear of being claustrophobia. The fear of spiders. What was the movie that came out? The fear of spiders. You all fears. People see a spider and they're like, you know, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil. Okay? You need to. Yeah, we need to pray in tongues, man. You got to do something. There's a spider. I got a buddy of mine. He is. I'm not gonna say his name. He was tough, man, in high school and stuff. We ended up both going to Bible school, and we were working at the same place. This itty bitty black spider was on the wall where we were working, and it was one of those jumpers. Have you ever seen those little jumping ones? Now, see, I say that, and some people goosebump right away. They think there's not even a spider here. Okay, so this little itty, and it's jumping, and he's jumping out of his chair. But we were working in a call center, so you have a headset on. It's connected to the computer, so you can't get that far away from the spider. I had to kill the spider. I watched this kid fight people like, what's that? Yeah, dangerous jumping little tiny black spider. Okay, or have you ever been on Facebook? And somebody post a picture. Somebody will post a picture. Somebody will post a picture of their kid who got bit by a spider, and then they tell this awful story. I take authority over that trash in the name of Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? Do not live in fear. Okay, one more. Psalms 91:5. Joel's like, give me more. All right, Psalms 91:4. What did I say, 91:5? I meant 5. All right, here we go. Psalms 91 is good no matter what. If you'll notice at the end, and he talks about this, he says, I will say of the Lord, actually at the beginning. What is he doing? He's saying, I will say this because this is what the Lord is to me. And saying it gives it access. Yeah. Okay? Saying it gives it access. So he says this in verse 5, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of what? Terror that flies by. That means you cannot be afraid in the night and in the day. That covers it all. You got it from the front to the back. We got it all. What about mid-morning? Listen, look at this awesome. This is so good. We got to read more. Okay. You shall not be afraid of the terror. I actually got 3 minutes. I'm just going to read. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness. What is a pestilence? We just read about a pestilence on Sunday. Are you supposed to be afraid of a pestilence? It's the Zika virus. So what? I will not be afraid of the pestilence that walks in darkness. I refuse, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Look at this. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but what? It's going to attach itself to you and take you down with... Is that what it says?
No.
But yet, how many believers believe that? Or maybe that's not the right way of saying that. How many unbelievers believe that? Okay. What did he say here? It shall not come near you. It shall not. You say, well, it hasn't worked like that for me. Have you said this? Have you operated in sense knowledge or revelation knowledge? What if I came to you and I said, man, I hope I'm saved. I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't know if I'm going to go to heaven when I die. What do you know about me? I'm going by sense, not faith or revelation knowledge. You'd look at me and you'd say, no, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you are saved. Well, I don't know if I don't know if it's working though. I mean, I just don't know. I mean, I've done so many bad things. What am I not in? I'm not in faith. So that principle there, how is this word any different than John 3:16? Did it not come from the same Creator's mouth? Right? Did it come from the same Creator's mouth? Is Jesus the Word?
Yes.
Did he change?
No.
Did he fall off his throne?
No.
Okay? He's still doing well. And this is his word, and John 3:16 is his word, and Romans 10:9 and 10 is his word, and 1 Peter 2:24 is his word. Right? And 1 Thessalonians 3:3. You're like, what's that? You go look. I had a friend of mine who is, I'll stop here. Actually, Pastor Jeremy Vester, he's going to come preach for us here next month. But he was preaching along, or he had opened his Sunday morning service, and he said, everybody open your Bibles to Psalms 91, and they all opened their Bibles. And he said, now you know where it is, now we can turn over to... Right? Now that you know where it is... Okay. I'm sorry, not 1 Thessalonians 3:3.
Okay, so I just read
2 Thessalonians 3:3. Okay, listen now. Listen, here it is. Okay, it shall not come near you, right? 2 Thessalonians 3:3. You ready for a New Testament version? But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one.
Amen.
What will he do? Establish you and guard you. You know, in football, you have a right guard and a left guard. If God's your guard, you're safe. You're safe, right? All right. You get anything? And we did get through many points. In this one. Bless you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.